Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning, good morning.
And Beth Habhager.
Good morning.
In a little bit, we're going to get into some entertainment news. Looking forward to that. We have Denny Wright stories, good stories of the day, all lined up for you. But you know how it goes on 9 o'clock on a Monday morning. It's time to open the kitchen.
That's right. Today is Monday, March 6th, and we want to open our segment today by thanking our sponsors. The Kitchen's Open is sponsored by Chatterbox Restaurant and Catering. Chatterbox Restaurant and Catering is a full-service catering company equipped for all your catering needs.
The restaurant is open 7 days a week with a fish fry special on Fridays, and right now during Lent, they are doing fish fry to go.
Woohoo! All right. Well, today we're going to talk about meat and bread.
Meat and bread?
Yes, or a delicious concoction otherwise known as a sandwich.
Oh, of course. That makes more sense.
Yes, the age-old lunch special. The easiest thing to throw together when you don't know what to cook. Or something new and delicious to try at a restaurant that's got crazy ideas.
Sandwiches are pretty basic. Doesn't everyone know how to make a sandwich?
Well, perhaps. But did you know that the first recorded sandwich was made by a famous rabbi?
Really?
Really. And I didn't make that up just for James. But seriously, the history of the sandwich is fascinating, and the road it's traveled since then is awesome in its diversity and creativity. So let's head down the path of the sandwich and see what we discover along the way. So let's start with the history of the sandwich.
Didn't the sandwich get its name from the 4th Earl of Sandwich?
It did, but the history goes back further than that. In the 1st century BC, the first recorded sandwich was made by the rabbi Hillel the Elder. An article I found on whatscookingamerica.net outlines the story of how Rabbi Hillel made the Hillel sandwich. He started the Passover custom of sandwiching a mixture of chopped nuts, apples, spices, and wine between two matzahs to eat with bitter herbs. The filling between the matzahs served as a reminder of the suffering of the Jews before their deliverance from Egypt and represented the mortar used by the Jews in their forced labor of constructing Egyptian buildings. Since he was the first known person to put something between two matzahs, or unleavened bread, and because of his influence and stature in Palestine Judaism, this practice was added to the Seder, and the Hillel sandwich was named after him.
Melissa, I am so thankful you brought this up. I don't mean to interrupt you two. This is your show and all, and I know this isn't bacon double cheeseburgers, but this is a subject I know a little bit about, if you wouldn't mind me jumping in.
Yeah, actually, James, I'm glad you interjected. Yeah. I was hoping you would share what you know about this subject. I know you have a special interest in it.
Thanks, Mel. Yeah, because of my mom. No, I'm kidding. I'd be honored. Thank you very much, you two. The Hillel sandwich is something Jews eat on Pesach. Is as many would put it, or Passover, as many. It's a lot easier to say, not as much phlegm. This year, it begins on the evening of April 5th and goes through the evening of April 13th, because, again, all Jewish holidays are celebrated at sundown. Mm-hmm. The Hillel sandwich is a combination of the bitter mahar, or bitter herbs, and sweet haros saset, or apple or nut mixture, between two pieces of matzah. It's a symbolic... It's symbolic of the need to take the good with the bad. It acknowledges the suffering alongside with the redemption. Passover, like many Jewish holidays, follows the Jewish trope, they tried to kill us, we prevailed, let's eat.
All right.
it's pretty basic, but basically every single holiday pretty much comes down to this for us, and there's a lot of them.
Oh, thank you, James. I appreciate you sharing that with us. You can interject anytime.
Great. So, Mel, you're talking about sandwiches. I think the bacon double cheeseburger actually counts.
If you could, if I could. I take that back. What I said, you can't interject.
How did you guys turn my mic off?
No, just shush. So as we move forward in time between the 6th and the 16th centuries or Middle Ages, people used thick blocks of coarse stale bread as plates.
Those were called the trenchers. It was an easy way to hold food, and the juice, grease, and sauce would be absorbed by the bread. So the plate, or plate, as it were.
That's right. And if you're still hungry at the end of the meal, you could literally eat your plate.
Or give it as alms to the poor. At that time, people thought it was their religious duty to give alms to the poor.
Do you guys think that's still our duty? I'm curious. I'd like to get your feelings on this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I mean, and we do it in different ways. I mean, think about the food pantries and other organizations, nonprofits that are out there to make sure that everybody has something to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So instead of directly giving it to them, we're giving it to a nonprofit organization that can distribute it on a let's say, more equal level.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't one of the oldest phrases breaking bread? That phrase to me always meant giving to somebody who didn't have a piece.
Right.
Like, that's what it always meant to me. So that I think that is one of the oldest things in humankind is to have something to eat and to give it to somebody else.
Yep. Yeah,
that's great.
If we're supposed to care for one another, part of that is to make sure each other stays alive, which means, you know, giving food.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you got to eat. Okay, well, back to the sandwich. During the 16th and 17th centuries, bread and meat were often mentioned in writings, especially plays written in the United Kingdom. Think Shakespeare or George Peele. It was a common food to eat, easy to grab and go. Now, Beth, you mentioned the 4th Earl of Sandwich earlier. Tell us about him.
Of course. The 4th Earl of Sandwich lived during the 17th century. He was an English politician named John Montagu. Now, there are several different stories about how the name came about, but they all involve gambling. In one rendition found on foodtimeline.org, John Montagu was on a 24-hour gambling streak in 1762. He instructed a cook to prepare his food in such a way that it would not interfere with his game. The cook presented him with sliced meat between two pieces of toast. Perfect. This meal required no utensils and could be eaten with one hand, leaving the other free to continue the game. This story would make it seem like it was the cook who came up with the final product, yet it's the Earl who gets the credit for the name.
Well, in another telling of the story on whatscookingamerica.net, during the gambling streak, he ordered his valet to bring him meat tucked between two slices of bread. Because Montagu also happened to be the 4th Earl of Sandwich, others began to order the same as sandwich.
And during the 17th century, 4th Earl of Sandwich traveled extensively. So he visited Turkey and other regions in the Ottoman Empire. They ate a lot of flatbread and would roll things up in it. This may be where he got the inspiration for ordering meat between two slices of bread, if that's how it happened.
You realize this is only known because of the French traveler Pierre Jean Grosley, right?
Okay, James, you can interject.
Oh, thank you, thank you. In the early 1770s, Grosley published a gossipy and satirical book called A Tour to London, or New Observations on England and Its Inhabitants. This is what he wrote. A minister or of state passed 24 hours at a public gaming table, so absorbed it play, that during the whole time he had no substitute but a bit of beef between two slices of toasted bread, which he eat without ever quitting the game. This new dish grew highly in vogue during my residence in London. It was called by the name of the minister who invented it. An article on history.com tells us the word sandwich does not appear in Grosley's book, but many people assumed the scene in the book, which Grosley may have made up, referred to the 4th Earl of Sandwich.
That's great, James. I know you have a huge love for history.
Hmm. You know, the meat was salted beef. That's not that far from a hamburger, you're saying. Okay, I can actually feel your eyes staring at me through the microphone. Melissa, I'll stop. I'll stop.
You're catching on, James.
Sorry.
Don't worry. I was giving him the look in person.
Thank you, Beth.
Now, moving to America, the first references of sandwiches and cookbooks came from Mrs. N.K.M. Lee in Boston and Elizabeth Leslie in Philadelphia during the 1800s. Mrs. Lee included recipes for several different sandwiches in her book called The Cook's Own Book by a Boston Housekeeper. Hmm. One of them may have been a precursor to the first bologna. She wrote, "Sandwiches, properly prepared, are an elegant and convenient luncheon or supper. Cut the bread neatly with a sharp knife, and the lining is composed of any offal, odds, and ends that cannot be sent to the table in any other form. Whatever is used must be carefully trimmed from every bit of skin, gristle, etc., and nothing introduced but what you are absolutely certain will be acceptable to the mouth.
Oh, that's great. Oh, they did find a way to use every bit of animal, so nothing was wasted, but I love the wording.
Isn't it great? And yes, and in Elizabeth Leslie's cookbook, Directions for Cookery, she has a recipe for ham sandwiches that goes like this. Cut some thin slices of bread very neatly, having slightly buttered them, and, if you choose, spread on a very little mustard. Have ready some very thin slices of cold boiled ham and lay one between two slices of bread. You may either roll them up or lay them flat on the plates. They are used at supper or at luncheon.
Sandwiches really took off in America, and by the end of the Civil War, sandwiches were found everywhere, from high-class luncheons to taverns and pubs frequented by working-class people.
This is where they started to get specific names, like the club sandwich, Reuben's, Sloppy Joe's.
The James, or the bacon double cheeseburger. Oh,
for Pete's sake, Melissa, look at who's starting that again.
Beth, you remember the emergency kit I gave you?
Mm-hmm.
Code word, duct tape.
All right.
Wait. Whoa.
All right. All right. Okay, now where were we?
Names of sandwiches.
Okay, let's see. We've got grilled cheese. We've got the Cuban. We've got...
let's get on to the sandwiches.
All right.
We can't talk about sandwiches without mentioning PB&Js.
Absolutely.
It's the ultimate sandwich. Now, the important thing with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich is to completely cover the bread all the way to the crust and have the right ratio of peanut butter to jelly.
Yes, and you can take it up a notch by grilling it, or you can just try different things than jelly, things like bananas, Nutellas, other nuts, if you want a crunch or a little extra protein.
Another really easy recipe to make at home are sliders.
Do you know those packages of King's Hawaiian rolls, those dinner rolls?
Mm-hmm.
You can slice the whole sheet of rolls open, put the bottom layer in a pan, add your toppings like maybe ham and cheese, and put the top back on, and then bake them just a bit to melt the cheese and warm the meat. And voila, you have ham and cheese sliders ready to go.
Oh, I bet you could just like pull them apart then.
Yeah.
Oh, so you could use any meat and cheese combo for those. Delicious.
Yeah. And since we're talking about melting cheese, how about grilled cheese sandwiches?
Yes, like the grilled dilly turkey melt.
Mm-hmm.
This is great with sautéed onions, Monterey Jack cheese, Canadian bacon, and sliced turkey. You can kick up the flavor by putting barbecue sauce on sourdough bread, then grilling it in butter. And you serve it with dill pickle slices.
Or how about taking your simple grilled cheese and kicking it up a notch? You can add cubed tomatoes and fresh basil to make it Italian style, or use goat cheese and arugula for a more grown-up version of grilled cheese.
Mmm, those sound delicious. I would try the second one if I liked goat cheese or arugula.
You can also have a variety of choices with your bread. You can use pita bread to make Greek sandwiches like gyros, or croissants to serve chicken or ham salad sandwiches. Or, and this is what I love to do in restaurants, a pretzel bun that can make any sandwich or burger amazing.
Yes, pretzel buns are so good.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a little carb heavy. There's always wraps if you're looking to pull back on carbs, and practically any sandwich can be made as a wrap.
So if you grill it, then does it become a burrito?
Different segment, but
right. Don't forget sandwiches you can dip though, like Italian beef or French dips.
Oh, there's honestly so many sandwich ideas out there. The sky is your limit.
And if you run out of ideas, Chatterbox Restaurant is ready to fix you up. They have a great sandwich menu that includes all of your favorites.
Yeah, like the club sandwich, BLT, or French dip.
Grilled cheese with tomato, delicious wraps like the bacon chicken wrap.
And they even have open-faced beef sandwiches.
Yes, James.
And the bacon double cheeseburger. Oh, my goodness. What have we done, Beth?
I don't know.
All right. Well, we want to send out a big thank you to our sponsors, Chatterbox Restaurant and Catering, for sponsoring our Kitchens Open segment. Visit Chatterbox and try one of their delicious sandwiches on the menu.
And if you have dining or catering needs, contact Kathy at Chatterbox Restaurant and Catering, and she will find you the perfect menu for your party. Maybe tea sandwiches for a fancy garden party or barbecue for your backyard hangout.
Whatever your catering needs, contact Kathy at 715-712-3393 and let Chatterbox Catering cook up something good.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Okay, let me get that for you, James.
Yep, got it.
Oh. Okay. Ooh, I guess I don't need to shave the next week here. All right. That was a great
You're
segment,
welcome.
You guys. Big shout out to our friends at Chatterbox Restaurant. Be listening next Monday for another great episode of The Kitchen's Open. Wonderful mm-hmm. job, you two.
You too.
Take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun in the morning show here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, where we are Locally Grown Radio. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa and Beth. We're going to get into some entertainment news now, and we're going to do this because I don't want to say everybody's talking about it, but everybody's going to be talking about it or has talked about it or mm-hmm. will talk about it. And, of course, the Oscars are coming up this week.
Mm.
So the slap heard around the world, the Chris Rock, Will Smith incident. This got talked about even more this weekend because Chris Rock had his live special. We talked about it a little bit on Friday that it was going on. I didn't get to catch it in real time. I watched it last night. I had two classes and afterwards had some grading to do. So I had it on in the background while I was getting some work done.
Mm-hmm.
Just the live special. I did not catch the other two things. I wish I would have caught the David Spade and Dana Carvey thing just because I would have liked to have seen those two work together.
Yeah.
I think that's got to be fun to see those. They're so similar and mm-hmm. yet different. I would have loved to have seen that. But
yeah.
mm-hmm. I did want to see, in my opinion, one of the greatest stand-up comedians of all time do what he does best. Did I care about the Will Smith stuff? Only in a comedic sense. By now, I think that if his point was to get people to watch this because of what he had to say about it, he would have done it like maybe 5-6 months afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chris Rock being Chris Rock and studying his career and knowing him, not knowing him, but knowing the way he's handled his career, he saw it more as, hey, I've got everybody paying attention right now. I'm going to make darn sure that some of my better material, some of my good stuff is here, is hitting. These are all hits that I've got going. And I got to make sure that I take a moment to think about this, that I don't react in the heat of the moment. Like Will Smith did.
Right.
Right.
So perfectly done there when it comes to that. Just take all that stuff aside, the Will Smith stuff and everything else. It was great to see Chris Rock doing what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I didn't laugh at everything he did. I didn't agree with every joke he had. I've never seen a comedian, including Rob Williams, that I did.
Right.
That's stand-up comedy. Some of it you're going to mm-hmm. like, some of it you're not going to. Move on. Mm-hmm. It's comedy. I really appreciated just seeing his work. Chris Rock, to me, is one of the last great smart comedians. I loved and grew up on Richard Pryor and George Carlin. And the thing I love the most about those guys is they can make you laugh. But then when you thought about it, like, wait a minute, he's got a point. Like, mm-hmm. oh, wait, he's actually saying something there. There's actually a point there with the punchline. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is the greatest comedy I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. I think it's
That's the
hardest.
Beauty of comedy.
Exactly.
I think it's the hardest comedy to do, too. It's not lazy. It's mm-hmm. not low-hanging fruit. So this is a smart comedian. This is a guy who's smart at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Then when it came to him talking about the incident, he said, quote, "Y'all know what happened to me getting smacked by Suge Smith," which is a joke about Suge Knight, just like lowering him. "I got smacked at the Oscars by him. People were like, did it hurt? It still hurts. I got summertime ringing in my ears." he added, but he added very strongly, and this was a big part of his whole entire special. "I'm not a victim." He kept on saying this. "I am not a victim." That there are a lot of people out there that actually are victims.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many people out there right now that can't wait to raise their hand. And I'm a victim. I'm a victim too. Hey, what about me? I'm a victim. And can't wait to take that blame. There are real victims out there. Choose your battles wisely.
Mm-hmm.
He is not saying he did say he took it like Pacquiao. He took it like a boxer. And I agree with that to a degree. Rock didn't let Jada Pinkett off either. In fact, he blamed most of this started with her. Many people had forgotten this, but he brought it back for us. Rock said his wife. He was at Jada Pinkett. So Will Smith was not nominated for the movie Concussion. Mm-hmm. And Jada Pinkett, his wife, thought that this was an outrage and demanded that Chris Rock quit his job hosting the Oscars and that he was not a, quote, black man if he didn't. She questioned his race, his creed. I've had this happen to me as a Jewish level. I can't even imagine what mm-hmm. it's like on that level to get something mm-hmm. like that. So this was started long ago. These three were friends for quite some time until that incident happened. And then there were some, you know, hard feelings and everything. Mm-hmm. Being a comedian, he's going to have some shots to fire. And he's going to take some shots. And he made a bad joke. Right. Not only because he's making fun of a health condition, but it's an old reference that barely any of the audience got. He's a better comedian than that. He's smarter than that. The G.I. Joe joke that he mm-hmm. made, or G.I. Jane, Jane joke, yeah. Jane, it wasn't funny, and it was an old thing, and he was making fun of somebody's health conditions. So none of that is funny. And I think as a society, we would have judged him and given him the hard time for that right there. But then he starts talking about selective outrage. Because does anybody genuinely think that that's why Will Smith slapped him, because of that? There is not a piece, not in the moment and not now, do I think for a brief second that Will Smith did that to defend his wife's honor. While before this, for those that don't know, and I'm only talking about it because Chris Rock talked about it, Chris Rock is only talking about it because Jada Pinkett and Will Smith brought this up in front of everybody, that she was cheating on him. That she was cheating, Will Smith, Jada Pinkett was cheating on Will with one of their son's friends.
Whoa.
So Will Smith has this brought out in front of the whole world. And not that it means much different in other cultures, but machismo in the African-American culture is a different thing. Mm-hmm. And unless you are African-American, you're not going to understand it, and you shouldn't try to, and you should just be able to say, hey, I get that I don't get it. So mm-hmm. you've got that going into this situation. And you've got a guy like Will Smith who has fought his whole career to try to seem, quote-unquote, down. And one of the people and that kind of thing, because he did not come from he didn't think he came from a hard cut enough background. So he's always worried about this. So then he's got all this going on, and then he's at the Oscars in the front row. It's supposed to be his pinnacle moment as an actor. Everybody knew he was probably going to get the Oscar. That's why he sat up front. Mm. That's what they do. It's always an inkling of, oh, well, I think this person's going to win because they're sitting up front. And shocker, they win. Just an inside note to those of the Oscars and everything. But he chooses this moment to get bent out of shape and to stand up, have 20-some feet to walk over, mm-hmm. and then slap him. And keep this in mind, too, everybody, because I don't think people realize this part of it either that Chris talked about. Chris Rock is famous for playing a crack addict in New Jack City. Will Smith is famous for playing Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. Do you think Chris Rock auditioned for that role? Do you think there's a bit of a difference in size with these two gentlemen mm-hmm. And everything? So Chris was in the moment, he messed up the joke a little bit, but he got in trouble for all this for not defending Will for concussion, and then Will gives him a concussion. Like, oh, wow. It was a pretty good joke, actually. It was pretty, she started it, I finished it, was his line, was okay. Chris Rock's line about this. I thought he wrapped it all up pretty funny. I thought he did a pretty good job with this. I thought it was mm-hmm. pretty good. I also hope we can move on as a society. Yes. Can we please stop nice. Talking about this now? Can we just all move on? Including those three, you mm-hmm. know, because I don't need to hear from Will or Jada about this. I don't really care what they have to say. I don't really have an opinion about it. And obviously, they're entitled to talk and everything like that. And I don't think Will Smith should be canceled. I don't think his career should stop. Should he not be allowed at the Oscars? Sure, fine. He'll probably thank you for that. but as far as like canceling people for something like this or anything, I think that's the last thing we need to do. I'm not saying we need to hold his hand and sing Kumbaya. He messed up. Right. And he should be held accountable for that. Mm-hmm. That's why he's not allowed at the Oscars. Right. That's why he's mm-hmm. lost some acting roles and everything. That's millions of dollars, folks. Yep. That's a lot of accountability, if you ask mm-hmm. me. Especially when he's in an industry that there are 15,000 people standing behind him and waiting for that job. that got the job now that he messed up.
Mm-hmm.
His pinnacle moment as an actor, like, granted, he's got a long career ahead of him, and I do think he'll get back in there and doing big movies and everything. But let's not get this twisted. He's not getting nominated for awards anymore. Like, he's not gonna get looked at the same anymore as an actor. And if they, even if he does do something, he plays an iconic role. And Will Smith's a good actor. Mm-hmm. He's very good. Mm-hmm. So he could, by all rights, do something that he would get. Well, he should be nominated. How many people you think, how long you think it's going to take before Will Smith gets nominated for another Oscar? Like, yeah. Seriously.
A very long time.
It's going to be a long mm-hmm. time. He's paying for this. Whether he's paying enough or not is case by case. That's everybody else's decision to make on that. But as far as public opinion goes, I think Will Smith is paying for this now. Mm-hmm. I don't think we need to cancel him or anything.
Well, and when do we allow the grace for him to learn the lesson?
Yeah.
You know, he has dealt with the consequences and the ramifications of his actions. And hopefully he has now learned from that. Mm.
It's not like he, you know, caused something as monumental as a train derailment in Ohio. Mm-hmm. I wish people would talk about what's going on there as much as this has been talked about, because that is truly affecting people. Mm-hmm. Did this really affect Chris and Will all that much and Jada? I don't think so.
They
don't have lasting repercussions like the people who live in Ohio.
We've got to choose our battles wisely. You know, what do we get upset about? What do we choose to spend our time talking about? And those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Take a break. We'll come back after Melissa's news, and we'll have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. Mornings here on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Can lean on us. I don't think there's any problem with that. You can lean on it. I got these big shoulders. I mean, why else I got them? You can lean on me. Okay. I didn't expect everybody to lean on me all at once. Oh, gosh. I'm tipping. Welcome back, everybody. I'm sorry, but this is one of the worst remakes of all time. This is it's because I heard it so much in the 80s. So much.
It's a little overdone.
The beat doesn't hold up. I'm sorry. This beat does not hold up. That beat sounds like something like an eighth grader would come up with or something like that. It does not hold up. But it's great. The original is classic. Mm-hmm. The original is iconic. That one, not so much. I think the name of the band was something really weird, too, like something silly. I don't remember. This is kind of silly, but I thought it was kind of fun. Don't you hate when you try to follow subtitles on TV and they disappear before you can finish them?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's often because the shows are just too wordy. Word Finder X determined TV's wordiest shows.
Okay.
I thought this was kind of an interesting one, especially almost every one of these shows I'm a huge fan of.
Of course.
Like, I thought that was kind of interesting, too.
Well, you're a writer.
It does say a little bit about yourself, and I had to take a moment and think about that. I'm like, oh, that is a big part of what brings me into work is the writing. And it's kind of interesting because... For me, I love jazz. I like a lot of instrumental music.
Mm-hmm.
I like a lot of the electronic music that has come out in the last, 20 years and stuff, too. A lot of those things. I love layers to music.
Mm-hmm.
But what I love even more is a writer that writes a song and then they sing that song or what have you. There's something about that to me. A song always just seems to have a bit of a deeper meaning when it's the artist who wrote it singing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there's a bit of a tie-in with all that. And number one on the list, one of my favorite comedies of all time, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Ah, well, there you go.
176.2. That's how many words per minute.
Wow.
Wow.
Next is Brooklyn Nine-Nine with 174.6.
Goodness.
Gilmore Girls at 167.
I was waiting for that one to come up.
Oh, yeah? Yep. Yeah. Okay, I've never seen that show, but I that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You both right away agreed too quickly, so yeah. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Modern Family at number 4 with 166.2. Animated show Central Park, 163.9. I believe, I've only seen a couple episodes, but I believe that's a singing comedy, cartoon, too.
Oh, really?
So I don't know how much that adds up to it. You probably wouldn't get as many words if you sang more.
It depends on how fast a song is.
I guess, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
the beat's pretty fast. Hmm.
Yeah, try singing the library song from She Loves Me. There was a... That is a lot of words really, really fast.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And there's one in the musical Hamilton.
Yes, yes.
So,
Suits at 161.
Okay.
Bob's Burgers at number 7 with 160.6. That makes a lot of sense, especially because that show is one of the few animated shows where they're actually in the room together recording it. Like The Simpsons and a lot of shows that I love, South Park does this too. One person's in Colorado, another's in California, and they're recording this, and they're not really even, not only are they not in the same room, they're not usually doing it together.
Right.
Now, a show like The Simpsons, they've been working together so long, they can do this, and it seems like they're in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
But with Bob's Burgers, they film together, and because of that, all the improv and great jokes that come out of it, I think it's a huge part of what makes that show so funny and so successful. Is the improv nature of it. They have an outline for the show, but I guarantee most of the great lines come from, they got all stand-up comedians on that show. They're all the actors on it are all stand-up comedians, so they got great stuff. It's
yes.
just one of the funniest shows I've ever seen. Number 8 is South Park with 160, just a hair under that.
Okay.
Mm. Big Mouth at number 9 with 157. Now, you're seeing a ton of animated shows on here.
I was just going to say that.
I think that's a big part of storytelling.
Yeah.
Especially when South Park's concerned, because South Park does this thing better than anybody I've ever seen, where they've got really sophomoric humor and at the same time a really, really adult strong point to make that, hey, mm-hmm. everybody should be listening to.
Yeah, moral to the story.
Yes. I've never seen it done better animation-wise or storytelling-wise when it comes to like to half an hour TV show. Mm-hmm. When I was talking before about Carlin, this is the Matt and Trey were interviewed once and on Jon Stewart's show, and they mentioned this. They threw this term out there. We went to the George Carlin School of Comedy, and it's a phrase that I use now, mm-hmm. And I know other people use as well, because it's this idea that how do we make people listen to this point? Oh, maybe we make them laugh. Maybe right, they'll listen yep. if we make them laugh. And that's part of the reason why if you ask me, the greatest reporting being done in the world right now, as far as on a nation world level, or nationwide level, is by comedians.
Mm-hmm.
Jon Stewart, mm-hmm. John Oliver. I mean, these guys are doing the best reporting there is, because that's the only way that a lot of people take the news anymore, because they've been burnt out.
Yep.
So, okay, I'll listen to the news, but you got to bring me the funny, too.
Yep.
I want a little funny with my news, a side of funny with the facts.
We need to laugh at our tragedies.
Yes.
Number 10 on the list, Parks and Recs. I also think it's noteworthy, too, that all these are considered smart comedies. That may seem silly to somebody that has watched every episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, or like Big Mouth or something like that. But those are smart comedies. There's some detail in there. Gilmore Girls and Suits are the only two dramas that I see on here.
Mm-hmm.
But am I getting that wrong? Am I just assuming? Because Gilmore Girls seemed like a drama to me. But
there's
a dramedy, maybe, is a better way to put it. Dramedy.
Maybe. Yeah.
And Suits, I never saw that either, but I know it wasn't a comedy. I just know it wasn't on the air very long.
I've never seen that one.
Yeah. I don't know. It's an interesting list, though.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily going to get anybody to watch any of those if you're not already watching them.
Not with subtitles.
I was going to say, you just need to be a speed reader.
Yeah.
You are.
Well, and the problem with that is that then you're so busy reading, you can't actually watch what's happening on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I don't like.
Yeah.
Because you can't do both.
I can't do both. I can't. I like watching a lot of foreign films and those things, and it mm-hmm. drives me nuts. And it's like reading a book. I've got to go back and rewind, and but that's on me. I don't put that on them. I put that on me. I'm a bad reader. It's always been hard for me to read. So I don't really put that on them, but it does make it tough. It does, you know. I rewatched Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon a while ago, and there's a lot of subtitles in that. And that's one of the most beautiful action movies you'll ever see in your life. It makes kicking and punching beautiful. Like, it's so well done. but you can't follow the story if you're not reading up on it, everything.
It's almost like you got to do one and then the other.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But it's worth it. It's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Wrap up our entertainment section. The 2023 Nickelodeon Kids Choice Awards were Saturday, hosted by YouTube star Charlie D'Amalo. I don't know who that is. And CBS Sports analyst Nate Burleson.
She's also the most recent winner of Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, okay. Okay. It's a pretty name. I like her name. I don't know who she is. I've never seen her, but it's a very pretty name.
She's a TikTok influencer.
Okay. Optimus Prime, yes, the Autobot from the Transformers, was awarded the Lifetime Achievement Award.
What?
Melissa McCarthy was slimed in a dunk tank filled with over 1,500 gallons of her Little Mermaid co-stars, Awkwafina and Halle Berry, so all three of them were. And Sandler was given the King of Comedy Silver Blimp. Taylor Swift won for Favorite Female Artist. Favorite Album also went to her. And her cat, Olivia Benson Swift, won Favorite Celebrity Pet. Oh, that's a cool category. That's a good category. I like that. That's a good category. Harry Styles won for Favorite Male Artist, Global Music Star, and Favorite Song for As It Was. BTS won Favorite Music Group. Wednesday won for Favorite Family TV Show, and Jenny Ortega won for Favorite Female TV Host. Or I'm a lead actor on a show. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, obviously this stuff doesn't mean a whole lot or anything like that. But I think it's awesome. Every award show should be this. I can't think of many things that would mean more to me in my career than to be nominated, not win, to be nominated for a Screen Actor Guild Award. That's the dream to me. As far as awards go, if I was going to be nominated for anything, that would be the first on my list. I care. Mm-hmm. The other stuff, meh. You know, I win an Oscar, I'm nominated for an Oscar, it's just going to be with my mom and dad. I'm just going to give it to them. So it's just another thing for them to have to find somewhere to put. So I don't know how much it would mean necessarily, but being honest about this, mm-hmm. that is something it would mean. But there is no award show that I would want to attend more than the Nickelodeon Choice Awards. Yeah. Not the Oscars, not the MTV Awards, not the Pulitzer Prize, nothing. This is what it should be. You should be having fun. You should be the idea of comedy is supposed to be the normalizer, the great equalizer, keeps us all on the same level. This is the point of a joke that Chris Rock makes or any other comedian makes. It's to bring the Will Smiths and the Jada Pinkets down to the same level as the rest of us and everything. That is the job of comedy. If you can't take the joke, chances are you don't get the punchline.
Right.
Or something like that, especially if you can't make fun of yourself.
Right.
Yep.
It's no different than this kind of stuff, than these kind of silly award shows. They gave Optimus Prime a Lifetime Achievement Award, man. Who's taking this stuff seriously? Have fun with it. Enjoy it.
And what a great way to bridge the generations with that. You know, I remember Transformers when they came out in the 1980s and playing with the toys and things like that. So you've got the parents and you've got the kids and probably grandkids now watching all this stuff together.
I mean, how many people really do watch a movie? Oh, hey, this movie won an Oscar. I'm going to see it. I mean, some people do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how many? A couple thousand, maybe? Out of the billions of people on the planet?
Right.
Like, I mean, how much do these award shows really mean? I don't think we need any more opportunities in society for people to pat themselves on the back.
Right.
I think we've had enough of that. I'm a big fan of acting. I love acting. You guys have heard me ramble about it a lot on the air here over the 20 years I've been on this airwaves and stuff. And I'm the first person to tell you, I've never met an actor in my life that's any good at what they do that does this because, God, I hope I win an award one day.
Right.
Like, I sure do hope I get that award. Like, no. If you're doing this right, that stuff means nothing to you. Mm-hmm. It's all about the craft. And, yeah, making a good living doing something you love to do. That part don't hurt either.
Kind of helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take a break right here. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun in the morning show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. Beth, Melissa, and James here with you. And time to get into our national day of... I'm sorry. It's actually a That Ain't Right story. But, you know, the national day of the other day was National Brain Day. It was a little while ago.
Okay.
Or, I'm sorry. It was National Brian Day the other day. And that comes up in this. So if we've gotten sick of the random holidays thing and everything, well, think about this one. Last Thursday, the zoning board in Boca Raton, Florida, held a meeting to change a law regarding the bulk storage of flammable liquids. Pretty boring stuff. But it was open to the public, which always makes things interesting. And when they asked if anyone had a question, a woman who identified herself as Ashley Cream walked up to the microphone. She was in a wild outfit, had an old guy in a wheelchair with her, and asked the board to create a holiday specifically for sugar daddies.
What?
Yes. So if you didn't think the whole National Brine Day thing was silly, maybe this one will think is just as silly. It was obviously a stunt, not a serious ask, but now the video is trending online. She argued that sugar daddies and sugar mamas are a huge part of the economy. She rambled about this for a little bit. But the joke kind of backfired in some ways, because now some people are actually trying to turn this into something.
Of course.
Oh, my goodness.
She asked the board to make Friday, March 10th, this whole National Sugar Daddy and Mommy Day Appreciation Day and all that. The zoning board said no. Mm-hmm. They're not doing this. But this is one of those times where the bit goes wrong. And you don't so much get in trouble as now everybody kind of labels you as this and kind of ties you to this.
Right.
And we tell people all the time to think before they hit send. You've got to think these things through true a little bit, too. Just take it a beat or two farther. You know, just play it out in your head a little bit and see how far this one can go.
And the funny part is they're not even a couple.
Not even that ain't right. That is not right. That is not a good story right there. Did have another one here I wanted to touch on real quick. If you haven't seen it, there's a video that has been making the rounds of a woman on a plane completely losing it because her boyfriend broke up with her. She screams, falls to the floor, and screams some more. Someone in the comments noticed a ground crew member wearing a safety vest, which would mean the plane is still on the ground. There's a follow-up clip of the crew saying that they have her two bags, and she begs, please don't leave me. It's god-awful. And that ain't right part is every single person sharing this.
Yeah.
Obviously, the person filming it, I think, is wrong. But I think everybody sharing this is wrong, too. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a saint. I've shared plenty of things like that where I probably shouldn't have or whatever that maybe put somebody in a bad light. And, you know, years later, I think about it and I feel bad or something like that. I'm not perfect. I'm not at all trying to like sound judgy to anybody or point talking down to anyone. I'm saying with everyone, we gotta stop this, you guys.
Yeah.
Has anybody done this yet, or has this become a thing too, where we're used to people slowing down when they see an accident on the side of the road? How far from are we from people filming that?
Oh, I'm sure there are people doing that.
It's already going on. I mean, like it becoming a national thing, though. Like the idea of filming somebody, like pretty much everybody has been broken up with,
mm-hmm.
and has had their heart ripped out in front of them and thrown on the floor, mm-hmm. and stomped on. Like if you haven't had that done, God bless you, and why aren't you in school? Because you're probably 10 years old. The idea of doing this to another human being is one of the tacky, lamer, childish things I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
Until you ask me about all the people, hundreds and thousands of people sharing the same video,
right.
who are almost worse than the person recording it.
Well, it again comes back to what Melissa said. Think about how you would want people to do it if that were you in that video. Would you want people to videotape you? Would you want people to share that? And if your answer is no, then don't do it.
I could easily say the boyfriend is not right for breaking up with her on the tarmac or on the plane and everything.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's messed
really
up and everything.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's pretty obvious. I feel I more so want to take an angle on this that I don't see anybody else doing. And that's holding other people accountable for their lame reactions to these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love a good joke. I'm all for comedy. And,
right.
And look, I am like a nut different than anybody else out there. I see somebody walking, they slip and fall. It's funny, all right? I like slapstick. I think slapstick humor is funny, but within reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any joy or funniness in seeing somebody heartbroken and they're having their heart ripped out. Like, I don't understand who this is for. What is the betterment of society for something like this? How does this entertain anybody? That ain't right.
Mm-mm.
We get to some good palate cleansers now.
Good.
An 83-year-old Vietnam vet named Paris Davis, great name, finally got his Medal of Honor on Friday. For those that did not see this, encourage you to watch the video. He risked his life over and over to save other soldiers during a 19-hour firefight in 1965. He should have gotten the Medal of Honor sooner, but the paperwork got lost, was resubmitted, and got lost a second time.
What?
Which is also a note to how much more funding needs to be put into our military on that level, on the paperwork level. Mm-hmm. We got no problem buying big new planes and the new, greatest new gun. Mm-hmm. How about we put a little money into this too? Mm-hmm. So things like this don't keep continuing to happen. Because this is how many times have we heard these stories of a veteran not getting a Purple Heart or an award because the paperwork was lost? The fact that we're still using the most VVAs and stuff are still on a paperwork system,
right?
Like in 2023, like that's, you want to see the latest military budget increase? Okay, I'm all right with that. It, put it in here. Put it in this stuff. Yeah.
Put it where it's needed. That actually helps vets.
Help our vets. Help our soldiers. Why do we have soldiers that are struggling to put food on the table?
Right.
That's on all of us. We're the ones voting people into office that are letting this stuff get by. Mm-hmm. They have no problem putting on millions of dollars onto the military budget, but not into those sections, not into those. That this falls on every American. Like, you can go ahead and argue with me about that, but if you're not taking this, then you don't. Are you experiencing freedom right now as an American? Okay, you're doing that because of these people.
Right.
Because of these soldiers and everything. So it falls on every one of us when they are not being taken care of. Mm-hmm. If you don't agree with that, you're not a true American in my book. An 8-year-old in Arkansas, sorry, I almost fell off my soapbox. I apologize, everybody. An 8-year-old kid in Arkansas named Kazen Hunter, wow, now that's a great name, recently found out his favorite waiter at a Waffle House was struggling and living in a motel. So he started a GoFundMe that's now raised over $100,000 for him.
Oh, good goodness. For him.
Wow.
It's
his
pretty
favorite
cool.
waiter.
Yeah.
Oh.
That got me. That's a good story.
Wow.
That's sweet.
Remember the story last week where a Nebraska cheerleader went through the state championships by herself after her teammates mm-hmm. quit? Now two more cheerleader stories are in the news. An 8-year-old cheerleader did the same thing at a competition in Florida and won it. And a video of the National Cheerleading Championship from last month is also going viral, where a team was performing with their music cut out. They were performing when their music cut out, but the crowd kept the rhythm going, and they didn't miss a beat.
Wonderful.
Wow. Oh, good for them.
That's pretty true, really cool video. Yeah. The video really gets you, too. Mm. There's all kinds of other good stories out there, everybody. We encourage you to be the good story mm-hmm. out there. Be good to yes. each other. We are going to get out of here for now. Playmakers coming up. We got head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Peckman, joining us Ooh. Along with Randy Paul. We're going to talk about some River Kings playoff hockey and plenty more coming up
Lots
for you on Playmakers.
Yeah.
We're also going to take your sports calls and feelings, so get ready to call up on Playmakers coming up in just a few. Melissa, Beth, thank you so much for a great start to the week.
Thanks. Yes, you too, James.
Have a great show. Have a great day, you two.
You too.
Have a great day, everyone. Stick around for Playmakers coming up right here on WFHR. We are locally grown radio.